not act like this beat don't get you fucking hype, bro.
It does. Can we like wait 2 minutes before we cuss for future videos now?
Ooh. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go.
One of the greatest songs ever made.
Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go.
Because this is like an actual car that's making a sound. And they threw some bass on it. I just can't root for the Niners ever, though.
You know what's crazy is that, like...
Shout out to 40 Water. One of the greatest ever.
We were just having a off-the-air conversation, and Kenny was shitting all over the song. And as soon as he hears the beat, he remembers, oh, yeah, this speaks to my inner teenager.
No, this speaks to my inner child growing up in East Oakland. Hearing... I heard this sound before I ever danced to it. Every day.
Yeah.
It was part of my life. Coming out of church, you're going to hear somebody bumping... They trunk rattling because that was illegal. It was illegal. They made it illegal in the Bay, but for a long time it was legal. From Berkeley down to Richmond, you're hearing somebody's car make that sound. And they got the extra subwoofers and everything. That's why I love Big Crit in Texas so much because, you know, even though he's from Mississippi, but he has a Texas sound. From Bun B and all them. And
but then as soon as we get on the air, he's like, this is probably the greatest song ever made.
I said it is one of the greatest songs ever made, but it's not a top five Bay Area song. It might be five. Like, I Got Five on it is legendary. Because most people don't even really understand the concept of why that song exists. When I Got Five on it, you don't really understand the point of the song. And if I have to explain it to you, you really don't listen to the music. Like Jay-Z said, you just skim through it. You don't actually hear it. You know, listen to the music. So,
yeah,
you're not the person I'm musically talking to.
And then you fucking quote Eminem, another rapper that you hate. This is a cacophony of fucking hypocrisy right now.
You mean
now.
A cacophony of heightened contradictions? Leave the big wordplay to me, okay?
I'm just shook right now. Like,
I mean, this is not a top five Oakland song, bro. A Bay Area song.
The song.
There's so many great Bay Area songs that this is like what everybody knows us for.
Yeah, but also
I was just looking back at everybody in high school discussing
to me
in 2008.
To me, this song is a number six at Wendy's.
Okay.
Like
I think it's a large frosty.
Like you've had it a lot, so like you it might be played out, but when it's right, it's right.
When I hear white people. Try to dance to the song. It makes me upset.
I think we're past that phase, but
nah, like,
everything
white
comes
girls,
back around.
When white
so
girls
2030,
horribly
who knows?
Dance to this song,
who knows? But what
gets
happened?
Me upset. I just gotta be honest. When people with no rhythm try to dance to the song, it makes me want to put on a ski mask and rob them.
Anyways, with that, this is Touchdowns and Tangents live on the Good News Radio Station. I'm PD Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Frankensberry.
And actually, the reason why I chose that song is not to tribute to the Bay Area, even though we do tribute the Bay Area a lot on this show.
We embody the Bay Area on the show.
It's actually because, well, we have some news to announce. Kenny?
Wow, make me the bearer of bad news because I just turned 30 and I'm the more mature one. Well,
wow. Hold on.
Beat you to
hold
it.
Hold on. Trying to set up the somber tone here.
You tried to make that louder, but it didn't work. But, yeah, so as of next month will be our last month here at the Good News. Changes are being made. Things are being moved around. Pete and I are deciding to go our own way. Yes, that's a song. You can go your own way. But... don't question it. We got eternal love for the Good News.
Our stories are forever intertwined. Our plot lines,
we're
our
like,
connections, friendships.
We're like the first show on the Good News Sports. Like, a lot of shows were built off us being there. And we've grown with Courtside, you know, when they were just five dudes in a room yelling at each other. And now they're just five dudes in a room all roasting Mykel, which is it's quite lovely. The consistency, the majesty. Shout out to Mike the Pappy. We don't never, I honestly have a theory. You just haven't, you've never left LA. You just like are balling so big that you have a second home in Tennessee. And I respect that, King. Salute. Because I'd be like, there's no way you just, every time I see you, he's so comfortable. And he's like in just comfortable dad mode. It's like, so you used to live it out here? Like,
you did.
Like, you we were sad in the car on the way home when you told us that first time you were leaving. Like, we played that song where Vivica Fox gets killed and Set It Off. And Chloe gets killed and Set It Off. Like, we were listening to that song on the way back home, like, in the old studio when you told us you were leaving. So, yeah. But anyway, salute Courtside. Salute to all the sports shows. Salute to...
salute to all the good news.
All the
listeners.
Good shows. Yeah.
You know, we've been on this platform now for what, almost 3.5, 4 years, something like that.
Feels like 4 years.
Probably closer to 4 years than three.
Should we just leave right at the 4 year mark? Our contract expires at WrestleMania.
But yeah, so if you are a good news listener, you know, you can continue to follow up with us on our own platform, touchdownsandtangents.com. And either way, you know, the good news folks. Good News Sports have great content coming for you consistently, so don't worry. I'm sure they'll find another great podcast to fill our spot.
Or at least one fat dude who's going to mouth breathe on the mic. At least one of them. I mean, come on.
Or a monotone Mexican to meet the Mexican quota.
I mean, we could technically just be like TG and Latinx, if we're being honest. We fit the criteria. I'm a black dude who can speak a little bit of Spanish.
Wouldn't it be,
and Pete's Mexican.
Wouldn't it be TGN Deportes?
Deportes de...
Deportes de...
I forgot how to say T.
Bueno.
In Spanish. I forgot
Deportes
how to say...
Deportes de bueno... Fuck, I know how to say news. It's not nuevo, is it? No. Fuck, what is news?
Nuevo, or just say journalism.
I think journalism is periodismo.
Periodico is newspaper.
Periodismo, I think.
You know some Spanish. Okay, I'm just saying we could potentially pop up. We're free. We're gonna be free agents. We could be popping.
We're not loud enough, and we don't have enough females in booty shorts to be successful with that market.
I feel like we could. I feel like they would be listening to
like
us.
Like, we'd have to have some air horns. We need to be wearing some crazy hats.
That's racially insensitive, and that's very stereotypical.
It is, but it's also kind of true. Like, have you watched the programming? Have you sat with my grandpa when he watched? Do you see what he watches?
Fam, I've been gamed up by old Mexican dudes before. I've been given game by old Mexican dudes. Like, I've been drunk at, like, birthday
parties.
I don't
think we talk enough about the old Mexican dudes who don't speak English and watch wrestling. Like, we don't talk enough about that.
But, like, you still get game from them.
But why do they do that? The answer is simple.
They used to probably be wrestlers.
It's a six-letter word.
I mean, I'll let you say it. Just because I know it doesn't mean I should say it, culturally speaking.
Females.
I mean, that too. But Mexican wrestling is like... Like, Mexican wrestling is, like, really dope. And the fan base is really dope. And there's a bunch of stories there that you can, like, especially, I think it was Bruiser Brody was one who got murdered in that shower. Yeah. We're not Compton Mania, but we can definitely. Shout out to Just Dope Ass Podcast. Our petty podcast brethren. I'm telling you, like, just a dope ass tangent merchandise might be popping up. I don't know when. It'll probably just be unique. I might make an 8-ball jacket out of it. It'll be like, you can only get like this and this size. So just like go to the gym and work out, and then we'll give you that size. I don't know, but whatever. Bottom line is, we got love for, you know, the Good News Radio, TG and Sports, TG and Latinx, everybody here.
Ladies night, the get right, never not extra. We don't make the rules.
Shout out, I was just on there on my birthday. I was like high as fuck off of edible. And like, I had my headphones in, so
speak,
I feel like
up,
they couldn't really hear me. But definitely,
whatever other podcast we probably forgot. Sorry.
I mean, I dropped a couple
fuck
of
with
new
you.
Ones.
Sports Talk with Mark. How could we forget that one?
Mark and DP.
Hmm.
Sports Talk with Mark and DP. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Anyway, we're not going to get all sad and mushy and depressing and shit because that's just not our style.
I don't know. That's kind of our style, but okay.
I mean, between my nephew having a severe ear infection and crying all day and, like, me not getting any sleep and I tested negative for COVID, but, like, my sinuses are here to fuck me up. So, you know, and just with NFL, everything feels so rushed with the NFL right now. It feels like Super Bowl just happened. All these All-Star games just happened. Now the Combine is happening because they moved it up. And the draft will be, at the end of April? So it's going to be, this draft season is going to be really interesting. But we got free agency coming up sometime in March. So to see who's not going to be on certain teams, who's going to be a cap casualty cut, that's going to be really interesting. But, sorry, I had to sneeze. But the most interesting stuff, and Pete, I just want to get my flowers because honestly, I feel like I'm going to get all my credit for my life's work after I'm gone because niggas like me just get hated on or just you don't mention our names in circles where it needs to be mentioned because, you know, for whatever reason. But, and however, henceforth, there too. The XFL came out with some news, Pete. And I've been getting laughed at. People have been trying to get me out the paint about this since the XFL went down before the pandemic started, or right when the pandemic had started, which changed the trajectory of a lot of people's careers and lives. But I said they would make a comeback and they would be a subsidiary of the NFL somehow, and that would just be smart money to keep them sustainable. They should be partners with the NFL in some way instead of trying to be independent of them and coming off as competition. And what do you know? It comes out that the XFL is going to have a petri dish type of situation, letting the NFL work with them in regards to their rules.
Okay, so two things here.
I'm owed an apology. That's all I'm saying.
One, never said it would never happen.
I said it never happened.
Why would they do that when they could just make their own league? That's all that I ever said was, why wouldn't they do it? The answer of why they would do it is, I think, simple. How can we bring The Rock into the NFL? I think that's ultimately the answer. Other than that, though, I think the other thing is we got to wait for it to roll out and see what it means because, like, yes, in theory, it should go pretty well, you know, having a spring league where they can test new rules, where they can develop prospects, you know, where players can develop their own game, like, just as themselves, like, they can be proactive about their development because, you know, working out 9 months a year apparently isn't enough. Point that I'm trying to say is, like, let's just see what happens because I don't know if it's always better to get bought by your competition and then they control you. Right? Because, like, are they really going to let the XFL still do whatever? Because that's what made the XFL innovative is that they weren't tied to the NFL and they were able to do so many things. So are they still going to have that same creative control?
I think when you say Petri
dish. Or is it going to be like, yeah, you guys can do this one thing. You can test this one thing.
I think, like, you say Petri dish is more like, okay, let's use what works with the NFL and mirror that in our organization. I think that's more of the move, not like, hey, like when Macklemore bought out like a certain department of the label, still independent, but he bought out like the marketing part of a label to help him push his album. He's still independent, but he paid for a service from a label.
What I take away from it is also, like, the NFL must really be, like, not shaking in their boots, but, like, I don't know if you want to say worry, but like, what's a word that you would use? On notice, being mindful of these other alternative spring leagues that are popping up. Like, I don't know, the Fan Control Football League, which has a lot of dope stuff that they're messing around with, NFTs and really all great sorts of cool
social
stuff.
Social media following.
Or is it the USFL that has that old brand name recognition, even though they don't have the talent or the ops? Like, is it like.
There's some notable names like Shea Patterson. He's the number one overall. Oh, God. I watched him at the Senior Bowl, and I'm just like, this dude is. I don't know how he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school.
Point I'm trying to make is.
Terrible. Like,
the NFL is doing this for a reason. I'm just not exactly sure what that reason is, and I won't really know until I see it.
That's the point. That is the point.
I guess the point is that I'll tune in, right?
You're going to watch the XFL when they come back, and I plan on having credentials for it again. But, yeah, I mean, so let's just jump right into the USFL. They had some notable names. It's interesting how they did their drafting. They drafted like QBs first, and then they went like receivers, running. It was like QBs and running backs, and then like DBs and receivers, and then linemen and DNs, linebackers. It was interesting how they kind of did their whole draft with those eight teams, which, by the way, none of them are on the West Coast, which is why I'm not really paying attention to it. They do have one in Birmingham, though, and they did draft a former L.A. Wildcat, Brandon Barnes, tight end out of Alabama State. He, like, got his leg mangled when they played against the D.C. Defenders and upset them and beat them. He scored a touchdown in that game, too. He got hurt. I think ever since then he's been rehabbing and trying to get back. And it's good to see him land, you know, in that league. And, again, there's, like, three different spring leagues. So, you know, it's good to see, like, football's being played just on some level. And it doesn't have to compete with the NFL. It just occupies a space in the ether of football, in that void of not having football. And people are, you know, getting money to, you know, feed their families. And you can't ever knock that. Like, if you could get paid to do something you love to do, and it may not be at the highest level, but you can do it, you wouldn't take a shot at that? I think you would. It would mean something to you to live out your life's dream, even if it's only at a smaller level.
So, I mean, isn't college football that?
Yeah, but what about life after college? There's plenty of dudes who never make it to the league. There's dudes who don't get drafted or do get drafted.
Listen, man, we all work shit jobs, so, like, I get it. If you that's what you want to spend your time on, like you said, and it fulfills you, go for it. But also, if you want to do something else with your time because you know it's just really kicking the can down the road anyways, you don't want to take that beating on your body, I understand that, too.
Yeah, but that's the thing about football is there's always, like, going to be a pool of athletes to play. They're going to get bodies. They're just worried about viewership and numbers.
Well, it's just like we were talking about before, wrestling. Right? It's like media. There's always going to be stories. It's just you have the money in the audience to pay for it.
Exactly. And there's just, and everybody has their own niche. And everybody's
same
always.
Same thing with football, though. There's always going to be football. Like, yeah, put a football. Go outside and play football and see, like, people come out and start playing a game, but that's not the same as operating a business and being able to sell sponsorships and get tickets in the seat.
Yeah, but if you can start local, I think that's what it is. Like, my old high school, they have a girls' flag football league. There's a girls' flag football league building in the South Bay. Across multiple schools, they got highlighted at the Super Bowl. There's money and funding going into that. There's plenty of girls who are athletes. There's a video of this chick, she dunked in a game, and the whole gym exploded. I'm telling you, there's going to be some chick who was running track, who's a freakishly great athlete, and you didn't know she could hoop, and she's just going to jump from the free throw line and yam one in your face, and everybody's gonna be shocked. Like the next generation of like stupid hybrid athletes are already here. And if we fucking survive the potential World War III, you'll see them. But, you know, who knows? Who knows?
All right, so yeah, basically, XFL, they're going to get the money, the resources. The USFL is going to get the boomers. To be determined who wins that battle, but
young people will go out to the XFL too. It's been proven. Like the LA Wildcats were getting numbers that were either on par or better than the Chargers when they were at that same exact stadium at Cal State Dominguez Hills.
The difference is though, tickets for the Chargers were like twice the price of any other stadium in the NFL,
and way more people.
The XFL tickets were like $10.
Yes, but there was a Laker game on and like three other things that day. And that stadium was almost full capacity. It was a lot of people there on a Saturday and on a Sunday for a minor league football, which is kind of impressive.
Dog, whoa. First of all, you just called it minor league football, which undercuts everything you just said. Second of all.
Because I had to combat what you're about to say.
Have you not been to a fucking Friday night lights game and fucking anywhere outside of LA, basically?
Oh, you mean in rich-ass neighborhoods?
Not even rich-ass neighborhoods. I'm sure there's poor-ass neighborhoods.
But high school football has a different dynamic than like, more people will show
up. I'm just saying. Like, all I'm saying is...
People don't realize how many people showed up at that Oaks Christian Sarah game when I was in high school. That shit was packed out, bro.
All I'm saying is...
Michael Pittman was out there. Like that whole.
All I'm saying is
Robert Woods was out there. Yeah, like, people were packed out for that game.
You keep harping in on like the success and the momentum that the XFL was building in the past, but the thing is, like, that's in the past. So
it happened.
Momentum stops. Like, that's what momentum is. You don't just get to just pick up where you left off at one and two. Like, dog, the tickets were like $10. Like, let's chill. Like, let's chill. Let's them get through a season before you start. Before you start trying to die on the XFL.
I was there.
Just let things play out, sir. Let things play out.
LA fosters an environment for competitive sports that people will watch. Is all I'm saying. LA will foster it, especially if you're good. Especially like if. Like, you put things together and people can see the vision. L.A. sports fan base will support you. That's why there are still UCLA Bruins fans.
Are they really from L.A., though?
Hit the gun. Where's the gunshots? I'm feeling violent. And boy, Arizona State is not looking great as a program. They're getting an insane amount of people transferring out of that place. That is turning into a toxic locker room very quickly. But anyway, so we want to talk about free agency. Actually, no. The Falcons hired Ryan Pace as their GM.
Shout out to Eric. I'm sure somewhere he's laughing.
A senior personal executive working under the current GM, Terry Fontenot. Wow. I hope you don't let him pick the next quarterback. That's all I'm going to say. So what are your thoughts on Troy Aikman? He's expected to sign a 5-year deal with ESPN. That's lead analyst for Monday Night Football. According to the New York Post. Thoughts?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Being honest.
You don't care about announcers getting paid stupid amounts of money?
Oh, you're talking about Troy Aikman?
White Jay-Z, yes.
I don't know, man. Honestly, Monday Night Football just isn't the same draw to me. To be honest, And honestly, I haven't really ever been a big fan of Troy Aikman as an announcer. So, I don't know. I'm indifferent.
Interesting.
I would have rather have Charles Robinson. There you go. Would have rather had Lewis Riddick. Isn't Lewis Riddick on Monday Night Football already?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah. I don't know. How about you bring back your disgruntled employee, John Gruden?
Can we not?
You know, since he actually sent emails when he was actually working for that organization and not
the
NFL.
Can we not?
Oh, we don't want to talk about that? Huh.
They're not going to talk about it, so why would we talk about it?
Huh. You mean like how ESPN didn't talk about all the Dan Snyder shit, but they talked about the John Gruden shit?
Huh. You mean how, like, Kelly Smiley fell off that stage for the Rams and fractured her spine, and people felt sorry for her and sent her money, and then it came out that she's, like, a total racist who says wild, racist, fucked up shit, and has, like, a whole history of it on her Twitter of saying wild, racist, fucked up shit, and then people just started killing her?
I didn't know that. I didn't even hear about that.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see the video?
What'd she take photos for? She's no, you. We talked about it last week, but who did she take photos for?
The NFL, NBA, she did a bunch of stuff.
Interesting. Not surprised.
And both her cameras broke as a result of her falling.
I want to look at her captions to see if she has any subtle racial shit on there.
They're paying to help her pay her medical bills and all that. But shout out to Odell Beckham Jr. and Lauren Wood. They announced the birth of their child, and he confirms he had surgery on a torn ACL. Which I said he tore his ACL as soon as I saw it. Because it was not contact.
Was it the same ACL he tore before?
Yep.
Damn. So that means he probably came back too fast.
No, if you look at the field and the way his leg just buckled.
Yeah, but he's only like a year out. He's only like a year and a half out. They say it takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years to, like, it takes a year to, like, structurally heal. And then from there, it takes, like, a year for it to, like, for you to, like, fully trust it and, like, really, like, be back up to full speed. Like, you can fake it before that, but, like, realistically, you're playing with the church's money at that point. Like, if you're coming back, like, you can come back in 9 months, but you're more likely going to fuck it up. You can come back in 12 months exactly and tell yourself that you fully trust it, but you won't really know. But, yeah, basically, I think the statistics are, and I know this because, like, my little brother tore his ACL recently. Statistically, they say, like, 30% of people end up re-tearing it. And I think the chances are even higher of tearing the other one. Because, like, that one that's repaired usually gets stronger because you rehab it more consciously.
Yeah. And that other leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Gets weaker because you're straining so much, putting so much weight on it. By the way, Ricardo Allen, former Falcon safety.
Huh? Huh?
And he's been here with the Bengals. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
I told you they had a bunch of old, washed-ass corners.
Super washed. Shout out to Vernon Hargreaves getting fined $5,500.
Okay, bro. Are you just gonna go through and fucking talk about all the takes or tangents?
No, that wasn't actually take or
that
tangent.
That was on my take or tangent.
That wasn't on mine.
Well, yeah, maybe you should do the rundown.
I only got three.
Not just scroll through Bleacher Report and shut things out. Because I don't know.
I was gonna save that, but I mean we can. Let's just get to the free agency, bro. Like the top stories from free agency.
Which are?
J.C. Jackson, Derek Carr's extension, allegedly. And
all right,
Aaron Rodgers' bullshit love letter.
All right, let's do that for touchdown or turnover.
All right, cool.
If I can find the drop.
So Aaron Rodgers wrote a lengthy Instagram post. People saying, oh, him and Shailene Woodley broke off their engagement. Some people are saying, oh, he mentioned David Bakhtiari and his teammates. Guys he mentioned in the letter are probably not coming back because allegedly they with David Bakhtiari to take like a $9 million pay cut. They're not going to have enough money to bring back Devontae Adams. I'm telling you, if Devontae Adams just his best bet.
They're going to break up the Smith Bros.
Yeah, honestly, me personally, if I'm putting money on the table, the Chargers are the perfect spot for Devontae Adams. You don't need Mike Williams if you have Devontae Adams. Unless you want to sign them both back because Keenan Allen's getting older.
I'm not saying it's a bad fit. I just think
it's actually a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit.
I think there's a better fit.
Herbert and Adams on a team that's ready to go to the playoffs.
Okay, so can you set it up for a touchdown or a fucking turnover? Because you just fucking read the storyline and gave your take.
Oh, so yeah, his letter pretty much mentioned a bunch of people that he cared about and that he didn't mean to be a whole. He didn't mean to be the focus and a distraction regarding the whole COVID thing and his toe and shit. So if you can go read his Instagram post. I'm not reading that corny. I'm just not reading that shit. I think it was, and he hasn't made a decision on retiring yet. So that's the real context.
I'm going to say it's a turnover because it smells like a PR move. It smells like leverage. It smells like
team spirit.
You already played your cards in your hands last year by saying, oh, this is probably our last dance. Oh, all these things that you're alluding to, like you already gave away a shit ton of your leverage. So guess what? A team isn't going to give up three first-round picks for you because, one, you're old, and, two, they know you don't want to be in Green Bay, so they're going to put Green Bay in a position to where they either take a loss or they end up cutting you, which will also be a loss. So, yeah, this smells like leverage. It's always easy to go back to your old thing, but the truth is it's your old thing for a reason, and it belongs in the past. If that's really what you're trying to do. If not, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he's realizing Green Bay is just it. Like, there's not going to be a better spot for me. Especially because they got him as QB coach. Especially if they can bring back some of the players that you mentioned. But I doubt, from what we know about Aaron Rodgers and his behavior, that all of a sudden he's just going to feel all sympathetic and, like, hold on to what he's comfortable with. Because guess what? As a dude with tons of commitment issues, I know when I see it.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that level of honesty.
Am I wrong, though?
I mean, I ain't no dry snitch. So I ain't gonna say nothing.
All right, next one.
All right,
I'll set you up for this one. Reports and rumors circulated last week. The Raiders are interested in extending Derek Carr. Derek Carr has been saying he wants an extension. The rumors are that the talks start at $40 million a year. So touchdown or turnover, Derek Carr getting an extension for $40 million a year.
Just no. Shout out to Phil Jones. Unfiltered Truth, friend of the show, brethren from the Senior Bowl, DMV native. And he has a bunch of horror stories. Like, man, he's telling a horror story about a house he was looking at, a townhouse, and how, like, the lady, this white lady across the way told him that 8 people killed themselves in that house. And they were all dudes. Yeah, it's creepy. Yeah, I'm going to stay the fuck out of Virginia and just the DMV in general. Just, ugh. Makes my, yeah. Anyway, I'm not paying Derek Carr in his 8th year $40 million to be mediocre and have 23 touchdowns, 21 touchdowns and like 19 turnovers or 21 touchdowns.
Come on,
and
dog. Like, his numbers weren't that bad this year.
He threw for almost 5,000 yards and only had like 19 touchdowns. Or was it 21 touchdowns and like 23 turnovers?
Turnovers, though, not INTs.
10, 10, 12, 13 picks, and then, like, how many fumbles lost? Too many to count? When you pass for that many yards and that few touchdowns and have that many turnovers and you're in your eighth year, bro, like, what's the excuse now? It's excuse after excuse with Carr. And you get, yeah, I would, if you're not going to trade
23
him,
and 14 with a 94 QBR and 4,800 yards.
How many touchdown passes to interceptions?
23 to 14. Statistically, his worst interception season and his best yardage season.
And that doesn't include the turnovers, by the way.
All right,
I would pay him. I would trade him for a second or third or fourth rounder, and restart at that position. I don't want to be married to somebody giving him a $40 million no trade clause contract for multiple years, $40 million, when you could just go get Aaron Rodgers.
You got your point. You got your point off.
It's such a bad idea.
It's called supply and demand.
Right? It's called slumming. That's what it's called.
It's called supply and demand. Let's look at what the top QBs make.
I'm not paying Derek Carr $40 million. I'm not paying Derek Carr $40 million to do shit. Understand me. I'd rather trade for Kyler Murray. I'd rather trade for Deshaun Watson because at least I know
when
he gets on the field, it's worth it.
So, the top QBs right now in terms of average per year are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson. Right, so all those guys, that 1, 2, 3, 4, those top four guys make over $39 million a year. Just those guys. So, really, Deshaun's not even playing. He makes $39 million. So, really, it's just the top three that are making $40 million, which is Dak, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes. Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy G, Matthew Stafford, round out that kind of top 10. So with that, I don't think it's really a matter of do we want to play Derek Carr $40 million, because we've been paying him $25 million, and when he got that $25 million, he was like a top five hit per year. The question is, do we want a 32-year-old Derek Carr making $40 million over the next 4 years, or would we rather have Aaron Rodgers for 1 year making $40 million? Would we rather have Kirk Cousins for a year making $35 million? Would we rather have Carson Wentz making $32 million for a year? Would you rather have Matt Ryan for a year making $30 million? Would you rather have Jimmy G or Ryan Tannehill making $27 or $28 million? Because that's really what the market is saying. So with that, I don't think Derek Carr is a top three quarterback. I don't think he deserves top three QB money, but when you put it in comparison of the market, that's just kind of the number. So,
man,
I don't know. I'm not against your plan of trading him for a second round pick and starting over, assuming we can get one of those guys without giving up too much. We can get them to take a contract extension, and then you surround that kind of guy with some players and you actually hit on a QB. Yes, but guess what? That's a lot of fucking variables, and what I know about being a Silver and Black fan is the more variables you give them, the more chances you give them to fuck up.
But this front office is probably one of the best put-together front offices in our lifetimes for the Raiders.
So
they actually like put together an intelligent, really good front office. And if I can build up an entire roster and, let's say, draft a Malik Willis if he falls, I'm okay with that.
So I'll tell you what.
I'm going to trade Josh Jacobs, to be honest.
So I'll tell you what.
You can find his replacement in the draft,
so bro. I'll tell you
I don't
want
to pay Josh Jacobs
I'll tell you
$15 million
what. I'll tell you
to
what.
Not hit 1,000 yards.
If giving Derek Carr $40 million get you Davante Adams, is that worth it?
Yes.
So that's your breaking point.
If you they're have, not going to get Davante Adams,
but I'm it's saying not financially. But possible. What I'm saying, if there were a scenario where they could get Davante Adams and pair him with his college QB, his boy, the dude he works out with in the offseason, Derek Carr, is that worth it?
What am I giving up? And am I trading Josh Jacobs?
I think the issue
how
with
many,
that
am
is.
I think
the issue with that is now you're looking at paying two players, what? Half of your salary cap?
30% of your salary cap? Easily.
Well, that's the challenge because you can't.
Plus, you got Corey Littleton.
You can't give a quarterback top three money and not give him a top 10 receiver.
Not true.
I mean, you can do that, but that's not smart. You're not going
to
win.
Carson Wentz got a lot of money to suck.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, okay, and even to your point where you shit it all over Derek Carr, which is fine, but the other thing that you have to.
I'll take Desmond Ridder in the third round.
The other thing you have to. I don't know if you want to discount it, but the other thing you do have to take into context
is Mariota's on the team.
How many more touchdowns does he have with Henry Ruggs? Four more?
That's bogus.
I'm just saying, how many more
that's
does
why
he
that's
have?
Bogus.
How many more does he have?
That's bogus.
How many more does he have?
Because he wasn't throwing him the ball enough.
He was starting to, though, and Henry Ruggs was starting to score touchdowns. They were starting to look explosive. They
but
were starting
Henry
to
Ruggs
do what the fuck they were supposed to do.
Ruined his life. So that shit's out the window.
Okay.
What are you talking to me about somebody who killed somebody
saying,
and ruined his life?
I'm just saying. That theoretically, though.
Theoretically, my ass.
Theoretically, though.
Guess
take,
what?
Take everything
what?
Out of it.
Guess what? Guess what? If
take
my mom
everything
had balls,
out of it.
She'd be my father. Right?
Okay, but what I'm saying is take everything out of it, right? Just from a football perspective, how many more touchdowns would you give Carr if he had...
He had Deshaun Jackson and he didn't throw him the ball deep.
That was for a lot of reasons. Deshaun was doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
Partially,
but
Deshaun
what I'm saying
was open
is,
downfield.
So
there
Deshaun got two.
Guys,
Deshaun got what? Two touchdowns? Three?
Could
so Henry
five,
Ruggs.
Could have had five.
Henry Ruggs
five.
So Henry Ruggs gets at least that, right?
At least another
plus
five.
Plus another one, too.
If they throw him the ball.
So does,
Henry Ruggs is running downfield by himself.
So does 30 and 12 change your perspective on Derek Carr at all?
Does no, that, it doesn't.
So at the negotiation table, does that give Derek Carr another.
We lost,
$5 million?
We lost another,
another
receiver.
$3 million?
Well, you could have drafted another receiver.
I'm just saying, though. What I'm saying is, think about it like this. If you're going to the negotiation table.
You can't leverage
is
what you
that,
didn't have.
I'm telling you, though. Just
I agree with you.
Listen
I'm going
to
counter your offer.
Listen to
you
me.
You had Amari Cooper.
Listen to me, though. Fuck all that. I'm saying is, if you're trying to re-sign your quarterback, right.
If you're trying to.
You're shitting on him because of his touchdown to turnover ratio.
No, he's just not it after 8 years.
Okay. In addition to that, though, you're also shitting on him for his last season's touchdown to turnover ratio. So what I'm saying is.
Run for the ball.
But what I'm saying is, if you add another five touchdowns and let's say take away three turnovers, what is that worth to you? What put a dollar figure on that. Is that worth $3 million? $5 million, $1 million. What is that worth to you?
How many wins does that equate to?
Maybe one, two.
That's still not enough.
Okay, but how much is that one or two wins worth to you?
$500,000.
You're stupid. That's stupid.
No, it's not.
So basically, what you're saying?
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something.
No, no, I'm not
he
done
had
yet.
All these
wait, wait, hold on. I'm not done yet.
I answered
I'm
all
not
scenarios.
Done yet. I'm not done yet.
Go for it.
This is what I was setting you up for.
Okay.
So with that, what that tells me about you is you undervalue the quarterback position completely.
No.
You don't think Stat, you don't think
Pat, okay.
You don't think you if you don't think there's a big difference between a 8-19
their offense
and
was
a 10-17 and a 10-17 I'm saying take Carr and all that shit out of it. What I'm saying
no, you're
is,
saying don't count his play
saying,
on the field.
No, no, no. What
but
I'm
then
saying
let me
is,
add some more touchdowns to his stats. That's his play on the field.
But what I'm saying is,
if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm not tying
I'm
myself to
is,
a quarterback.
What
for
I'm saying
four
is,
years.
Your 1-2 wins is only worth $500,000. But what I'm telling you is
no, his touchdown, his stats are only worth another $500,000 because he throws for a lot of yards in garbage time.
Okay, but you're not listening to me, bro.
I am listening.
You're not.
If it was
not.
Any other quarterback, I would agree with you.
You're not
that
listening.
That's $1 million a touchdown. That's $1 million a touchdown and $1 million for every less pick.
But even if that gets you one win, that's worth more than $500,000.
In the Raiders situation, no, it's not.
There's a huge, bro, one win was the difference between them making the playoffs and not. And really, it wasn't even one win.
The Bengals.
Really, it was half a win. Ask the fucking Chargers. Ask the Steelers. Like,
I mean, the Chargers.
It's a half a win. Half a win.
And let's look at their losses. They got killed by the Chiefs.
The point that I'm trying to make is
they can't beat the teams they're actually
the point
supposed
that
to
I'm
beat
trying to make
a high profile
and the
QB
point
supposed that to
you're
that.
Also trying to make is that
I'm not going to give you more money for you to keep doing the same bullshit. That's what I'm saying. I don't really even think they should pay Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, they don't need to pay him.
Yeah, but his fifth year option is coming up. They're gonna
I think
have
this
to
is
decide.
His fifth year, right?
No, they're going to have to decide. Do they want to bring him back? And I don't think he's worth $8 million a year. There were better running backs ahead of him. Don't forget, Jonathan Taylor was a second-round pick.
But the reason why I broke it down to you like that is because you're making it too personable. That's not how negotiation works. That's how you want negotiation
to
work.
No, that's how Carr wants it to work.
That's not how
it
works.
Don't look at me individually. Look at all the other quarterbacks who get paid the same amount of money
that's
you're supposed to pay me.
That's the market.
There's the market, and then there's fuck you, I'm getting up from the table. There's that, too. In negotiations, it's okay to get up from the table when you're beyond your price point. And I'm saying Carr is not worth $40 million. When there are holes,
is Ryan
all
Tannehill
over
worth 33?
Shit, I'll get 33 from Ryan Tannehill and build a team around him.
So Kirk Cousins is worth 35 with the team built around him.
I mean, honestly, they can make it work in Minnesota if they fix their defense. That offense
that's what
is good
been
enough.
Saying for 5 years.
But also, if Aaron Rodgers leaves the
it's
NFC,
it's always been if
North,
they do this, if they do that, if they add Kirk
they
Cousins, they'll get
didn't.
Over the hump, and they didn't.
Nah, but Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. That's just factually true. Look at the numbers. He may not make the throws you want him to make, but he will be great, let's say, three quarters of the
game. Hello, man.
But you eventually want to hand the ball to Dalvin Cook. That's all I'm saying. You want to take the game out of
again,
Kirk Cousins' hands.
We're splitting aiolis here.
I'm just telling you, Kirk Cousins, since he got to Minnesota, has had a better career than Derek
Kirk
Carr
Cousins,
his entire time in Oakland.
Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, call it aioli, call it fucking Mayo, call it whatever. They're the same fucking thing.
No,
bro.
They're not. Derek Carr's more athletic.
They're the same thing.
He's way more athletic.
They're the same thing.
Kirk Cousins, no,
they're the same thing.
Kirk Cousins ran like a 4.8. Derek Carr
they're
ran
the
a 4.6.
Same thing.
No, they're not.
They're the same thing.
Derek Carr is nowhere near as efficient as Kirk
and
Miracle Cousins.
Whip and Best Foods are nowhere near the same, but
no,
they're
bro.
The same.
No, we're not talking about
same.
We're not talking
they're
about Nutter Butters and fucking Laffy or the I forget what them shits are called, but there's like Nutter Butters and then there's like a
nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about.
It's an off-brand cookie. I can't remember the name of it, but whatever. Bottom line is. I'm not, as Josh McDaniels, as a head coach, knowing this could be my last shot, knowing I got a young defense, I got young, smart coordinators around me that could build this team up. I got some young pieces. Clelin Ferrell is a fucking bust, worse than Jamarcus Russell, as far as I'm concerned. I would rather have Jamarcus Russell again than Clelin Ferrell on an NFL roster because he is fucking useless.
That's fucked up. No, he's not. That's
yes, the
fucked
fuck
up.
He is, bro.
No.
He's useless.
That's
useless. There are dudes who are undrafted
far,
who are
that's
better than him on that team.
That's too far, bro.
No, it's not. Shit.
That's too far.
So you took a dude who can't play D tackle at the four spot when Devin White was right fucking there, when Devin Bush was there, when you could have traded down. Now you got to worry about paying Jonathan Abrams, who's injury prone and pretty much a fucking linebacker who can't cover anybody. So, yeah, I'm not paying Derek Carr $40 million when I have Jonathan Abrams, who was my first-round pick, who's supposed to work out. But he didn't work out, just like Carl Joseph didn't work out. Josh Jacobs looking like he might not work out. You got holes on your offensive line. Richie Incognito is pretty much done. Colton Miller is eh. I'd still rather have Derwin James or Tremont Edmonds. At least somebody will be doing better on defense. But I get you wanted a left tackle. Fine. Are you going to go spend? I'd rather go spend that money to get Brandon Sheriff.
This is why you're not a GM.
I would rather go spend that money to get Teron Armstead and say, hey, Colton, you're playing right tackle now. I would rather go get that money and beef up the offensive line and then get rid of Carr, use him for draft capital, get rid of Jacobs, use him for draft capital, and then say, look, we're going to take a step back because that roster that made it to the playoffs made it by the skin of their fucking ass cheek, and they weren't going to beat anybody in the playoffs. There was a fluke year, and it's not sustainable with what Derek Carr is bringing to the table. So we got to rebuild this franchise. Straight up.
I totally disagree with you.
What? I totally disagree with you.
A lot of people don't.
I totally disagree with you.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people in Mobile didn't disagree either.
I totally disagree with you.
Hey, man.
Totally disagree with
you. I'm telling you, it's not financially, it's not physically responsible to pay Derek Carr, but you can let him play his contract out or trade him. They have all the leverage. Derek Carr has no leverage. He doesn't. What leverage does he have?
Are you done?
He can finesse. Are you done? He can finesse. Are you done? Somewhere else.
Can I talk now?
Yeah.
Are you done with your little tirade?
I didn't know you were such a Carr stan.
I'm not a Carr stan, yes, bro. Are. I'm yes, thinking about this shit logically. What I'm trying to say is
a QB like Carr is not.
What I'm trying to say is this.
Or getting you there.
There's no in between. You either keep Carr. You pay him the money you want to pay him because that's what he wants, and that's the only way he's going to come back.
Clause. You got to say
because
that.
Why? He's been in the trade rumors for 7 years now, five years. He's in his eighth year. And he's been in the trade rumors for five of them.
And he's in his eighth year.
So you could see why he would want that.
He can get no better.
Point that I'm trying to make is, okay, fine. You want to trade Derek Carr? You want to reshuffle the deck? Cool. Then do that. But don't be mad when we're 4-12 again, 6-10 again, and we have to do the whole fucking process over again. Don't be mad about that. That's one.
I won't be.
No, shut up. Shut up, bro. I let you fucking talk in your little fucking tirade. Now let me talk, bro.
Alright, fine.
Okay. Two, don't go out and get no fucking bench bridge quarterback. Don't get no fucking Jimmy G for $28 million. Don't get no fucking Ryan Tannehill for $33 million.
Mariota's already
dog. Don't get any quarterback for over fucking $10 million.
Fair.
Give me Jacoby Brissett for $12 million. That's give me disgusting. Fucking Marcus Mariota for $12 million.
Eight
whatever.
He's getting $8.5 million.
Whatever. Whatever. Give me a backup QB. And pay him a little bit more than backup QB money and draft a QB high. Fine.
I'm okay with that.
Then you're okay with losing for 2 years.
You're losing now.
Me?
You're losing
now. The way I see it is the team has $10 million in cap space. Most of that's going to probably go towards draft picks and re-signing players. Casey Hayward's probably gone because the defense is going to change.
He's definitely gone.
Outside of that, the only other players that I really want to keep, and I don't even know if I would say really want to keep them, but it'd be nice to keep them. Like
Nick Kukowski.
If you can get them for good, if you can get them for the right price, I think Zay Jones is worth bringing back as like a third or fourth, fifth receiver.
Yes.
I think Solomon Thomas is worth bringing back as a second DT, D-end, whatever. If he can get back to where he needs to be. He showed some promise. I think he's worth bringing back. Outside of that, you trade John Abrams, as you alluded to.
He has no trade value.
Whatever. Trade him for fucking Jalen Reagor. I don't know.
Now you're just not trying.
Trade him for Jalen Reagor.
So he can play running back?
Fuck it.
Trade Kenyon receiver.
Trade Kenyon Drake for Jalen Reagor. I don't know.
I'm not trading Kenyon Drake.
What I'm saying is you could trade one of those guys for another fast weapon on offense that the Patriots can fuck around with. That's what I'm thinking of.
I'm trading Josh Jacobs.
Whatever. You trade Abrams. You trade Kielkowski because he has like $4 million in dead money still. You trade Corey Littleton. He has like $6 million in dead money. You trade Carl Nassib, who has like $6 million in cap money. Good luck trying to trade those guys, but hopefully you can trade them.
That's $20 million in dead money.
That's still $20 in dead money, and they already have 10, so that's 30 in dead money.
Sickening.
Right. Okay, so now you got a bunch of draft picks, and hopefully you hit on those. All right, but who knows, right? So then now you're talking about the window being kicked down. So now you're talking about probably also trading Colton Miller, getting a first or a couple seconds for him.
I think you only trade Colton Miller if you can sign Brandon Scherff and Teron Armstead.
No, because why are you going to sign those guys if you have a fucking rookie QB and your defense is filled with a bunch of turnover players?
Because they're like, all pro linemen. And Colton Miller isn't an All-Pro. Why would you trade him when he can perfect? He can
wasn't
still play.
Colton Miller a second-team All-Pro last year?
What?
Wasn't he a second-team All-Pro last year?
I'm pretty sure he wasn't. I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
I don't know, bro. I gotta check. You can check that.
I'll check that. You've been kind of wrong lately.
I don't know. He might have been a fucking Pro Bowler. I don't know. Anyways. PFF loves Colton Miller, so
get the fuck out of my face, man.
There's that. I'll fall back to that.
You called him an All Pro on PFF.
He might have been. He might have been a PFF All Pro.
Let's see. He's been selected to no Pro Bowls.
All right, there you go. I was wrong. Point is, I'm pretty sure he's been a Pro Bowl alternate. Pro Bowl alternate.
Not even that.
All right, so then you definitely traded him for a first or second round pick, regardless if you can sign any of the guys that you mentioned to, which you probably wouldn't be able to on that team. You trade him away. Again, you have to redraft the position. All right, so now you've got a roster.
His contract is flexible, actually.
Now you got a roster filled. Yeah, but he's what, 27? 28?
He's the same age as around Derwin James.
So, what? He's got to be 27.
He's been in the league 4 years.
He's got to be 27 or 28, right? So, do you think he's going to be elite to good in the next 3 to 4 years?
He's 26, actually.
Okay. So, maybe you keep him. Maybe he catches the tailwind of whatever run you're able to put together with the next QB and next receiver, because yeah, but me, what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to reshuffle the deck, but honestly, you're better off not, because the roster still has holes. And if you can get a defensive tackle, you can get a number one receiver, you get a guard, sneak into the playoffs again. See what happens when the refs aren't against you. I don't know. See what happens. Fucking Bengals did it, bro.
The Bengals are a much better team.
Because they draft a lot better.
They're from top to bottom.
They draft a lot better.
Top to bottom, they're a better.
They draft a lot better.
Yes. Top to bottom, they're a better roster than the Raiders.
And what I'm saying is,
and they almost beat the Rams. Because that was some bullshit at the end of the game. He gets 7 penalties called on one team.
But what I'm saying is, if you trade Derek Carr, you got to reshuffle everything.
Which is fine.
So you're fine with losing for another 2 to 4 years?
No, they're still a competitive roster. You're just not going to win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr. So why do you
But
get
you're
married?
Not
going to
win a Super Bowl without him
That's
either.
That's fine. But if you load up on talent, young talent, that you can build the roster around, and all you're missing is a quarterback, then yeah, pull what the Chiefs did.
So if you can pull
for Patrick Mahomes at the 10th overall
spot.
So
if you can pull,
nobody thought they were going to.
Okay, so if you pull all your cards together, get Devontae, you give Carr his money, you have a first and a second round pick, and let's say you hit on a corner, you hit on a guard. You don't even need to get a guard in the second round. You can get a guard in the fourth or fifth round.
You need to let go of Carr.
So you can hit a defensive
and
tackle.
Being on the same team.
You can hit a defensive
financially
tackle.
Financially, it's not going to work. I talked to Phil. He talked to, I'm telling you, like, financially, that shit is not going to work with Devontae Adams and Derek Carr having fat-ass contracts. Because guess who you have to pay next? Hunter Renfro. You're going to trade away, I'm forgetting the tight end's name. You're going to trade away Darren Waller?
You know what I say to that,
you're
gonna, bro?
You're going to lose somebody.
You know what I say to that?
That's
fuck them salary caps.
That's $60
million. Fuck them salary caps, dog.
Yeah, but the Raiders can't afford to be that financially, that fiscally irresponsible. I would rather build up a whole-ass team and then, boom, trade up. I get the QB I want.
Nobody's even sure about any of these QBs in the draft.
Malik Willis looks like the best one there. He just needs... They all...
You really, also like him.
I like Kenny Pickett, but not as much as everybody else does.
You like Willis, though.
I like Ford.
You like Willis.
I like Sam
Can
Howell.
You just say you like Willis? Like, why are you talking around?
He's the most upside.
Why are you talking around
him? He has the most upside. And not okay. Just because I dapped him up in the airport.
Okay. But like, even before that, you liked him the most. You're rooting for him.
Best on for the past 2.5 years, yeah.
You're rooting for him, yeah. So,
out of Liberty. He didn't even have Gandy Golden that long. He just has an elite, like, I can only compare his arm to, like, Dante Culpepper, but it comes out so fast that it's like, and his mobility, he will keep you in games. And he's the one person in this draft class who would elevate an offense.
You trust him in a McDaniels offense?
Yes, because look what Mac Jones did.
He's not Mac Jones, though.
All he has to do.
And the Raiders aren't the Patriots.
Guess what? When you bring people in to be competent, like the defensive coordinator, who's very great at what he does, they're probably going to do a lot of hybrid nickel to where it's really – it's going to be these two linebackers on the field. That's all I really need. Denzel Perriman, Divine Diablo, four down linemen, nickel coverage. That's everybody's base defense. You really only have two linebackers, four defensive linemen, and the rest are DBs and safeties. That's most of what everybody runs.
The point I'm trying to make is,
so
like,
with that offense, you need an offense
I agree
that can
with you.
Not stall out.
I agree with you that Derek Carr is not the solution. I've been said that for so long. However, he's also not the problem.
Oh my God. Who's the problem then? Khalil Mack ain't the problem.
The $12 million, the $20 million in dead money we just talked about.
Well, who signed those guys?
Exactly, and those guys are all going to either ride the pine for
they're still riding
all
the pine.
And we didn't even get to Cleveland Farrell. That's another $10 million in dead money.
What have I been telling you?
So that's $30 million in dead money
reserves. Three dudes who are failed signings.
That's Devontae's contract right there.
No, it's not, because you still have to pay those dudes, because that's...
I know, but I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, you can still free up that $30 million. You're also going to pay them $30 million, but you split the difference.
Devontae wants all his money and not a single fucking penny short. And if
don't
he realizes,
forget the Nevada taxes.
Hey man, if he realizes, oh, I can't get Derek Carr. Who do you think?
$20 million in Nevada is like $30 million in California.
Let's break this
so
down.
So let's say this.
Okay, no. I just want let's go personnel. Let's go personnel.
All right, one last point. One last point.
Okay, cool.
One last point, and you make your point. All right,
go for it.
So, Devontae, you're Devontae Adams right now.
Yes.
Here's one deal, right? $30 million.
I'm looking at the Chargers.
$30 million from the Chargers or the Rams.
I'm taking it because Herbert's better.
Let me finish.
Go for it.
$30 million. With the fucking 40% taxes in California.
Who gives a fuck? I'm from Fresno, bro.
That's like $20 million.
I'm from Fresno. I don't give a fuck.
Dog, Vegas is
tired of
Vegas is just as close to Fresno as LA is. Just different directions. They're the same direction. The same direction.
I want the fuck out of Wisconsin.
So do you want to pay? Do you want to get paid $30 million to go to LA, be the second fiddle?
To who?
To the Rams.
I was saying, because I know you. I hope you don't think Keenan Allen's better than Devontae Adams. I'd have slapped shit out of you. In the
or
show.
You want to go to Vegas for
The Rams 25, salary cap hell too,
which
by
is
the way.
Like $35 million in Nevada.
Keisha.
Play with your college QB who you work out with all the fucking time and text all the fucking time anyways.
Oh, this is going to be easy. This is alley-oop. Keep going.
What are you going to do? Those are the two hats.
Here's why, A, that's bullshit, and B, why it's going to, the honeymoon is going to die out fast. It's third and 10. No, third and four. Devontae Adams gets open on the shake route. He's running downfield. He's open. Safety knows he's open. Can't get there in time. Instead of Derek Carr throwing to him or throwing to Darren Waller over the middle of the field, he throws a 2-yard pass to Hunter Renfrow. How many times do you think that's going to piss Devontae off? I'm asking you, how many times do you think that's going to piss Devontae off?
You still haven't answered my initial
question. Aaron Rodgers, I'm answering your question with reality.
No, you're not.
I am.
I'm telling you, put yourself in Devontae's
Hunter Renfrow,
shoes.
Who is Derek Carr's favorite receiver.
I'm telling you to put in Devontae's shoes.
I'm in Devontae's shoes, and I'm like, well, I see how you lock on to Hunter Renfrow, how you love small white slot receivers, and you don't like throwing it deep. You're going to have to throw it deep to me. You're going to throw it to me
he
where I want.
He throws the ball deep.
And misses a lot. Which, look at his touchdown interception numbers. Look at his turnover numbers. All I'm saying is, it's going to get to a point where Devontae's not getting the ball, but Devontae got paid. Are you okay with losing and getting paid?
Okay, so
I might as well just go to the Chargers because Herbert is a dog and he's going to throw it 90 times a game.
Here's the teams with over $20 million in cap space, right? So these are the teams. Well, actually, the Raiders have $18 million in cap space. So here are the teams with more than $20 million in cap space. You ready?
Close to 15. But
you ready?
Yeah.
Lions, the Browns, the Bears, the Steelers, the Commies, the Seahawks, the Colts, the Broncos, the Jets, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins. So really, out of those teams,
you might fuck around in Miami.
What are you going to give your top five? The Dolphins, the Chargers, the Bengals.
He can't go
Broncos,
to Cincinnati.
Hawks?
He's not going to
Steelers? Okay, then, so Steelers.
Steelers, if they get a QB. That'd be interesting. But, again, they don't
but
do
again,
well.
That's going to eat up
they
all
their
money.
They don't do well
money.
With superstar receivers.
If they get a quarterback, that's going to eat up that $30
Steelers
million.
Steelers don't do well.
So we take the Steelers out of that. So that leaves what? The Seahawks, the Colts,
the Browns,
the Broncos. You're putting the Browns in the top five? Okay. So
if they let go of Jarvis Landry, they're going to throw a fuck ton of money.
So you're saying the Browns?
The Browns will just throw a bunch of money at Devontae Adams.
The Browns, the Commanders, the Seahawks.
Not the Commanders. That is
why not the Commanders?
Because their organization is shit.
Okay, so the Seahawks.
Not the Seahawks. They don't
why not the Seahawks?
They don't have draft picks or cap space like that.
They have cap space. They have $35 million in cap space.
They got to pay DK.
You really? Bro, the Saints are fucking $80 million over the cap. The Packers are $40 million over the cap. The Cowboys are $30 million over the cap. The Rams are $20 million over the cap. You can fucking manipulate the cap. You just can't be pussy.
But most organizations...
Scare money, don't make money.
Most organizations are not going to pay that money, historically. Historically, the Bengals are a cheap organization. Will that change, seeing as how he was, like, literally seven blown calls away from a fucking Super Bowl championship? I don't know.
Okay, so Devontae's top five. Are you putting Philly in there?
Chargers are number one because Herbert.
Okay, Chargers.
Herbert
are
and
one.
The money. And they need a receiver. And why would you pay for Mike Williams if you can get Devontae Adams?
Okay, so Chargers, Dolphins,
Raiders.
Raiders.
If they have Carr. He's not going to the Bears. That'd be stupid. Why would you
go?
So
then what? The Eagles? Chiefs?
Maybe the Eagles and the Chiefs. He's not going to the Chiefs. That's too much. There's too much ball to pass around.
So the Colts or the Broncos?
Maybe the Colts. The Colts might be a steal. The Broncos, no. They already have their nucleus of receivers.
All right, so final top five is Broncos, Chargers. No, you said Chargers, Dolphins, Raiders, Eagles.
Colts.
That's a solid top five.
That's the most realistic. Because when you get down to it, he commands 100 catches a year.
But 80 still,
to 100 catches a year.
It's either go to Miami for $40 million, and that's like $50 million because it's Florida.
You got Jalen Waddle on the other side. You got to double one of us.
Or you go to Vegas.
And you got Mike Gesicki running free downfield.
He's a free agent.
Mike Gesicki's a free agent already?
Yep. He's a free agent. He was in the first round pick.
Oh, shit. He's already been in the league 5 years?
Four. He wasn't the first round pick.
I thought he signed a 5-year contract. Damn.
Nah, he's a free agent.
Well, somebody going to win big with Mike Gesicki in free agency because he could play. But, yeah, you look at, like, the Dolphins might be a good fit if Tua really is that guy. But Herbert is missing an alpha like Devontae Adams. Because they can draft a tackle in the first round to solidify the right side of the offensive line. They can draft a D tackle to solidify the middle of their defense. They can re-sign guys like Chinonwosu. You know.
All right, man. We've been on this topic for like 30 minutes.
Bottom line is, when it comes to free agency, yeah. All right. The next one was, so Tom Brady allegedly was annoyed with some of the things happening in Tampa Bay, and that kind of partially led to his retirement, allegedly. Bruce Arians was recovering from his torn Achilles tendon, and sometimes he would come in and change everything that Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich had worked on. And apparently the relationship was kind of souring. I think, honestly, as far as, you know, a touchdown or a turnover, I would say that's a touchdown for the sheer fact that.
Really? Fuck?
Wait, did I say that right?
No, you didn't.
I feel like I said that. I feel like I fucked that up terribly. Horribly. I don't know why I said. It's touchdown or turnover. I'm not tripping, am I?
Yes, I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Oh, bottom line. Oh, yeah. So Tom Brady retiring when he did, I think that's a touchdown because of the reports coming
you're
out
saying
that he had. Like, his relationship with Bruce Arians was starting to go
bad. Okay, I'll set this up for you.
I said it. I'll
set this up for you. Basically, reports coming out, Tom Brady ended up retiring because him and Bruce Arians' relationship was sour. They didn't like how things were running in Tampa Bay. However, the Buccaneers think that if Tom Brady returns, he would return as a Buccaneer. So, Brady back with the Bucs, is that a touchdown or turnover next year?
That's the turnover. Because I think it was a touchdown for the reason him leaving. Because Bruce Arians usually does. It happened in Pittsburgh. Or it happened in Arizona.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the similarity.
His ego gets in the way. It happened in, what, when he was with the Colts, right? Ego gets in the way.
Was he with the Colts?
I think he was with the Colts.
The other Steelers coach, I think.
I'm pretty sure he was with the Colts, but, like, he was definitely with the Cardinals. But I'm saying.
The Cardinals, yeah, for sure.
But he was definitely, I'm pretty sure he was with the Colts, for sure. But, like, it soured everywhere he went as a head coach. And it comes down to him wanting his way. And it's like, dude, you didn't win until Brady came along. And then if you were undermining Brady and Leftwich, and that's how they felt, according to a former player.
I'm going to say
NFL player who's now a journalist, Rich Arnberger, I think that's how you say his name. That's what he's reporting, and it's like, well, you don't just say something like that without having proof.
I'm going to say it's a turnover, but for different reasons. You know, I think the Buccaneers were able to kind of capture lightning in a bottle, you know, signing Brady, getting Fournette out the scrap heap, getting AB out the scrap heap, you know,
having a young defense, where the players that both clicked and developed, like, was a real special thing that they won, and they were the first team to win in their own stadium. And Brady did it in the new spot. But, like, I think all of us who thought, like, oh, just bringing all 22 back was going to be enough, I think we all played ourselves, because, like, football is a game of emotions. Like, it's a game for highly emotional men, and you keep that kind of continuity and all those personalities in there for another 12 months, like, you're going to run into egos bumping heads. And I think if they bring Brady back, it's probably only going to get worse. And I think he's been in this situation enough that he knew that, and that's why he walked away. Because, yeah, I'll do it for Bill, because he helped put me on, and that's my legacy. And, you know, this is the Patriots, and it's the Patriot way, and it is what it is. But there's not a Buccaneer way. Like, I came and won. I captured a fucking lightning in a bottle. Like, just like the first time they won in 2002. Like, they won, it was magical, and that was it. Like, the magic was over, because it's Tampa Bay. Like, just like the Rays, they make a World Series every now and then. They're the little Cinderella team. And then guess what? They're rebuilding another 2 years later. Because guess why? It's Edmonton. I mean, Tampa Bay.
Damn, you just took a shot at the Edmonton Oilers for no reason.
Didn't the Rays play, like, half their season in Canada for a little bit?
Who cares? I was thinking of the Blue Jays when you said that. I don't know why. But they're no longer the Blue Jays.
All right. Real quick. Jarvis Landry is unsure of his future in Cleveland. You already alluded to earlier. He said he just put it in Cleveland's court. So touchdown or turnover if the Browns let go of Jarvis Landry?
He changes their culture by himself. You could just go there and, like, to cash a check. He made their offense accountable. So if you don't re-sign him, who's Baker throwing to? Let's keep it 100. Who's he throwing to? If not the other team, Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb.
Again, though, man, I think with Cleveland it's tough because you have Myles Garrett, and he's like an elite player, and you need to win while he's an elite player.
And you got Jadeveon Clowney there.
Like, he could take or leave Clowney at this point. So I think it's more about capturing Garrett's window so that he doesn't end up like Jadeveon Clowney.
I mean, Clowney never had 10 sacks in a season, so...
That's what I'm saying, though. But I'm just saying, in terms of having to go somewhere and be a second fiddle on a team that's somewhat relevant, like...
He was also used wrong.
Point I'm trying to make is Garrett is an elite player. He's a top five player in the league right now, and you need to win while you have that. Otherwise, fuck are you doing?
You wasted...
The problem is...
the number one pick.
And I mean, they have a good roster.
Yeah, top to bottom, they're loaded with talent defensively.
The problem is, what are they going to do at quarterback? And again, like you said, who's Baker throwing to? But are we even sure Baker's going to be there? Because
that's a rebuild.
It might just, yeah, exactly.
If you don't resign Baker,
but if you rebuild, then you're wasting Myles Garrett. So
you're wasting.
What are you doing?
You're wasting Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. David Njoku, Austin Hooper. Nick Chubb.
Njoku's been up and down.
Nick Chubb on, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs is a problem.
Well, nope. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not taking anything away from Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt.
The Raiders,
they're great changes. Players. I'm just Nick saying Chubb they're the running Chargers. Backs. They're running backs.
Don't be disrespecting Nick Chubb like that. Don't be.
I'm not. I'm Ryan. Not at all. I'll take Nick Chubb any day. Nick Chubb's a top. Three running back.
And the Raiders passed on him. I told you they should have took him.
All right. Next one. Hold on. I lost it.
I got one.
Go for it.
So, talked about it last week, but nobody really is going to remember it. Like, 155 players are pretty much ready to
board. All right. Let's save that for Take or Tangent.
Let's go to Take or Tangent.
Were we just on Take or Tangent?
No, we haven't done Take or Tangent. We've been doing Touchdown or Turnover this whole time.
That Derek Carr shit was... Really?
Yeah, you just wanted to go on a fucking tangent for Derek Carr. That's what pisses me off about, like...
No, you, anytime you keep about, saying, now that, pay now Derek that, Carr.
Now
no,
that you, now that
that's
you,
a turnover.
Now that you've joined anti-Carr Twitter, it's like...
I've never guys, been on Carr's
you
side.
You guys do that thing where it's like...
Oh, here we go.
Okay, I
don't
get
say
it.
You guys don't love me.
No, you're anti-Carr Twitter now. You're there. You're a lieutenant. You've worked your way
I'm
up.
A lieutenant.
You're a lieutenant in the anti-Carr
Twitter.
Have
I slandered? Out there, I don't know.
Point I'm trying to make is this:
don't put me.
You
out there
motherfuckers
like
love to hate on Derek Carr. Not even hate. You guys love to say Derek Carr isn't worthy of this and that. But yet you're still talking about the dude. Fuck Derek Carr. Respectfully. Like, not fuck him, but like,
Derek
fuck
Carr.
Him. Like, I'm tired of talking about Derek Carr.
No, once you bring up Derek Carr, should get a contract extension. No, the
I never
shit.
Said that.
That was
I never said that. I never said that. I never said that words. But that's what I'm talking about, bro. That's what I'm talking about. I never said those words.
Nah, I just don't think Derek Carr should.
All I'm saying is
I'd rather spend that 40
all
million
I'm saying
elsewhere.
Is don't not give Derek Carr 40 million and then get Kirk Cousins for 35 and think that's going to do anything.
I agree with you.
So if you're not going to pay Derek Carr 40 million,
I'd rather build the roster
then you're
up
starting again. Over from scratch.
No, you're starting over with a new QB.
You're starting over from scratch.
Not necessarily.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't want. I don't want them to get Jimmy G for 30 million.
I don't want Jimmy G. Who said I wanted Jimmy G? I would pull off some shit like, hey.
Josh McDaniels?
I'd be like, hey, Arizona, how badly you want to
Josh McDaniels?
Hey, Arizona, how badly you want to get rid of Kyler Murray? What are we talking here? Because James Conner's a free agent, and so is Chase Edmonds. So they don't have any running backs coming back.
I don't think.
Hey, I'll send Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Abrams, and a first round pick right now.
I don't
for Kyler
think
Murray.
You want that in a Josh McDaniels offense. I think he's going to want a more traditional QB.
Man, you fit the offense.
AKA a white statue.
I mean, Kyle Orton. We
all
can
right.
develop QBs. That's the point.
So all right. So
we can develop Malik Wilson to be a pocket passer.
Combine protest.
So, yeah. There was a lot of there essentially was going to be a combine bubble, and a lot of players really weren't feeling it. Agents said there's about 155 players ready to boycott it, so they're not going to do the combine bubble. It would have sent people home for the slightest infraction, and it's like, dude, I'm already in Indianapolis. It's starting to come to the point where being at the combine is making me lose money. Why would I be here? I can interview you anytime. I don't need to come to Indianapolis to get no sleep, interview. And then I guess they wanted to do bench pressing and field workouts the same day, which if you play football and you know, oh, I got to go lift weights, and then you want me to go run a 40 as fast as I can, that's not really conducive to working out.
They do that at fucking combines it all the time. They do that at college pro days. They do that
field work.
I'm not gonna feel sorry.
40s.
You're not getting me
and
with that
bench
part.
Press.
You're not getting me with that.
On top of the interviews,
you're not getting me with that.
They wanted to mix a lot of stuff all at once, and the reports were that
all I'm saying
a
is
a lot of people were like, "I'll just not
here,
go to the combine."
Here's my tangent on this.
Especially top
here's
five
my tangent
prospects.
On this. Here's my tangent on this. This is where we've been going to. This is what it's all been leading to. Whether you're talking about players who've been sitting out games, sitting out seasons, sitting out bowl games because they're thinking about their prospects and their money as early as their junior year or whenever they're able to go pro. That's one. Two, the transfer portals at both levels have, and you know, the ability to make money off your likeness has empowered players to take control of their bodies and their image and their futures. And three, just overall in the workplace, you know, Gen Zers are just not with the shits. Like, they don't give a fuck about the institutions. They don't want to work at a company for 20 years. They don't care about the title. And
it's even gotten to the point where they don't even really care about money. So with all that, we're here. Like, the combine has already been losing steam. We've been talking about it the past few years. Less and less players wanting to do it or only doing parts of it.
They were only going to give less, guys one trainer. Less
emphasis on fucking the broadcast networks, even though it's on more channels, it's getting less prominent. And they've talked about moving it. Like, this is where it was headed. And if the NFL didn't realize that and they didn't understand that, hey, making everyone stay in that little Olympic bubble for 3 days wasn't going to make it worse, then they're idiots. I'm sorry to tell you that, because that's really just where we're at, and that's where it's been leading to. So, yeah, if players want to do the interviews on Zoom calls, if you want to move the combine to LA or Vegas where it's not fucking Indianapolis, like, there's reasonable things you can do to make it a little bit more appealing, but ultimately,
Miami, maybe.
This is just where we're going. Like,
look what Brandon Marshall did with his
players
combine.
Aren't going to jump through hoops to fucking impress you anymore, because
I could just do it empowered through my school.
Now. Empowered.
I could just, you could be at my bro day and go fuck yourself. That's pretty much a lot of people. Like, I could just go to my pro day. Now, like, obviously, yeah, the HBCU combine, that's to get guys' names out there, but eventually they're going to realize, oh, if I'm good, you'll find me. You just want to know how fast I run, how high I can jump, and then we're going to do on-field drills.
I mean, I think for us,
you can watch my tape. That's why Joe Burrow didn't do none of the combine
shit.
He said, look at my fucking film.
I think for us, it's also like the combine, you know, really started coming on as NFL Network came on. So, like, us, the people who grew up with cable, like, you know, we grew to love the combine because it was like our insight. It was like it made us outsiders feel like insiders, even though we weren't.
Yeah.
And now it's getting to a point where cable's so tuned out and social media, it's all about social media highlights and everything else, that these younger guys, they don't have that same nostalgic feeling for the combine just because it's not as big, but also just overall in general, like, this generation just doesn't care about tradition or institutions, and it's both a blessing and a curse, because on one hand a lot of it is bullshit, on the other hand we are losing a lot of shit, so it's two sides of the coin.
And World War III is like right outside your window.
Exactly, that's where we're at.
And I'm gonna point out, there was no combine last year
and we didn't miss a beat.
And guess who?
A combine fell in Indianapolis and didn't make a sound.
Didn't make a sound. Oh, by the way, Micah Parsons ran a 4.3 at his pro day. Jason Owe ran a 4.36. Micah Parsons ran a 4.39.
All right, so Kyler Murray.
Those happened at a pro day, by the way.
So Kyler Murray says he and the Cardinals are all good. They're on the same page. You got to take our tangent on that.
I mean, I just think Cliff Kingsbury isn't the guy. They're going to eventually get him out of there, because that offense and Kyler Murray need to take the next step. And again, both his starting running backs, one was a pro bowler, they're free agents. You got him DeAndre Hopkins for a reason. Everything went off the tracks when DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. Because A.J. Breen was not really getting 50-50 balls like that. Christian Kirk was like your best receiver. Andy Isabella's done nothing. So it's like, and Zach Ertz, you need to keep him, because now you actually have a tight end who can catch the ball and make plays downfield. That was a great trade. And you got to fix the offensive lineup a little bit. But Arizona, it feels like they're right there, because, you know, they're probably a corner away. But you look at their linebackers and Isaiah Simmons and what he can do, like, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be taking the next step. They should be overtaking either the Niners.
They did take the next step. DeAndre just got hurt. Kyler got hurt. Like, what can you do about that? They got hurt. Shore up the offensive line.
Brandon Sheriff.
Run it back.
Brandon Sheriff is looking like a really good option at guard. Teron Armstead, if he's available. I'm just saying, they already got they got Rodney Hudson for pennies on the dime. And he's arguably a Hall of Fame caliber center, pass blocking wise. So, I mean, if you're going to point, like, if we're going to be honest about that.
And the Raiders probably beat the Bengals if they have Rodney Hudson.
They definitely beat the Bengals if they have Rodney Hudson, because he gives you another 3 seconds to throw the ball, or at least Carr can run for it, because he's too chicken shit to actually, like, you know, not throw it away on fourth and goal. He did that before. He did that in the game. He threw it away on fourth and goal.
We're in a Kobe just sleeve. What I've noticed about.
I was done with Carr right after that. Right after that play.
After Rodney Hudson, like with Rodney Hudson, when Rodney Hudson plays, there were just a lot less times where Derek Carr would have a, where someone would have a free run on Derek Carr, one.
And then
or
he
two,
wouldn't change in the play every,
or
all the
two,
time.
A fucking tight end would be one on one with the DN, which is a situation you always want to avoid.
And by the way, just by the way.
Because if you're a DN and you get blocked by a tight end, you probably shouldn't be in the league. Just saying.
You're a defensive tackle who got crackbacks at that point. But by the way, I just want to point out, yeah, how many quarterbacks you know throwing it away on fourth and goal in a game that you need?
Jimmy G, Derek Carr, and probably, and I would put the odds that either one of those guys are a quarterback next year at like 70%.
And only one of those guys has multiple Super Bowl rings as a backup. But
I don't think he has two. I think he has one.
He has two. I'm pretty sure Jimmy G has two.
I don't think he has two.
I don't know. The Patriots won a lot.
And he came out the same year as Carr.
He was in New England.
Or the year after.
He was in New England for a while, bro.
I think he came out, what, a year after or a year before Derek Carr?
What is a year after? But my thing is this. Comes to the combine, all that. Everything that's leading up to the draft, which will be in Vegas again, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he came out the same year as Derek Carr.
So 8 years in the league and two Super Bowls.
He was drafted after Carr.
And two Super Bowls later. Two Super Bowls later.
Appearances. One Super Bowl ring.
And he almost got the Niners to the Super Bowl.
He did get them to the Super Bowl. They just didn't win.
A second time. Carr.
Actually, did he put? He might have not even won with the Patriots.
No, they got one. He definitely got one with the Patriots.
Yeah, you're right.
He was about to take over.
He got one in 16.
Told you. Man.
You're right. He got two. Yeah, he got 14 and 16. Dog, I have brain fog, all right? Leave me alone.
Anyway. Yeah.
That's it. We're over time.
Yeah, Arizona's pretty much cool. Just some quick college football news. So.
Oh, my God. How about you not go on fucking 15-minute tirades about Derek Carr?
This is part of my end-of-the-show rant.
Yeah. Oh.
It is.
Okay.
You see how I freaked out?
Yeah.
That was the that was the energy of the show.
Yeah.
Didn't nobody want to hear about college football until the very
fuck
end.
Fuck off, dude.
All right. So first things first.
Wait for you to be proactive with your pettiness.
I mean, hi, have we met? And I'm 30 now. I'm your senior. Shut the fuck up. Youngin. All right. So, Shoelace Robinson, Denard Robinson, is pretty much going to be like a player development, like assistant head of player development at Michigan. So that's dope. Imagine how much money he would have made if he legit, like, was allowed to benefit off NIL. That's kind of crazy.
He's the last cover athlete in NCAA football history.
And, you know, kind of deserves to get paid. But, yeah, so, yeah, not much really happened in college football. That's all I really have to say with regarding that. My 30th birthday was very interesting. I worked on my birthday, but then they, it was really slow, so somebody had to get sent home, and I was already on my lunch. I was like, I volunteer as tribute. I'll go home right now. I don't have to clock back in. I'll make it easy on you. Just let me go. And there I went home, ate some cake, ate some edibles the next day. Shout out to We Don't Make the Rules podcast. Next time I show up in studio, it'll be lit. Salute to them for having a sponsor from a black-owned Papa John's. Salute. Also, man, I had to just take some hard looks at myself. Like, damn, I'm 30. I started working 10 years ago. I started my first jobs, like, officially that I count when I was 20. And in 10 years, I've matured a lot. Like, I've put myself in places and spaces to be better, and I feel like I've answered the call for most of it. So I'm really just growing and trying to progress and making sure I'm in an even better place 10 years from now. Because I'll be 40. Fuck. But hey, it beats the alternative. Salute to all my dad homies out there. Especially Teamer. You know, it's just sad when, you know, cowards take your life at a very early age. I'm thankful, you know, even hitting 30. A lot of cats, we're like, damn, we don't know if we're going to make it. So, there's that. Shout out to my nephew, Isaiah. Had ear infection. Was crying. Wasn't feeling good. And it just kind of brought me back to when I was a kid. And how my mom would take care of me. And, like, just being in a situation where it's like, I got to calm a baby down. It's like, damn. Life is funny. And this might be the episode of the show. I'm going to stop talking before I lose my voice again. But love truly is, what did I say earlier? Love is just, oh, shit, I forgot the saying. Love is just hatred that you, no. Love is just hatred that feels good. There, that was the saying. That was the quote. That was the tweet.
All right, I got shit else. My time. I don't have much to say, other than just know yourself. I mean, I think the world is a crazy place right now. You know, obviously, the stuff that's going on in Ukraine is a lot bigger than, you know, football or anything else that you might catch on this podcast or this network. But at the end of the day, like, you control what you can control, and you can't always control with how people perceive you, but you can't control the output that you put in. The output, you can't control your output and what you feel from that output. Like, don't always rely on things from outside, because you're not always going to get it. And there's a number of variables why. Some of them you control, some of them you don't. But at the end of the day, what you control most is how you feel about yourself and who you are and what you're doing and what you're building. And as long as you have that perspective, you can really get through anything. And trust me, like, you can make shit that doesn't work for you, as long as you know why you're doing it and you stay true to yourself and your principles and you remember your why and your non-negotiables. Because there's a lot of distractions out there, both warranted, you know, in the world, crazy shit, unwarranted, your own anxieties and things that you create and blocks. But yeah, man, just do what you can to feel good about yourself, and that starts with understanding why you're doing what you're doing and also why you're not doing something else. Because our most valuable currency is time, and that's what we'll never get back. So whatever you put your time into, find ways to feel good about it, because otherwise you'll burn out, but worse off, you'll lose yourself, and you don't want to get to that point. So just remember why you're doing whatever it is you're doing. Remember why you're not doing other shit, and
Just keep going. Keep building. All right, man. Well, this is Touchdowns and Tangents. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for listening to us on your favorite podcast app. Shout out to X-Squad Affiliates. Shout out to Full Press Coverage. Shout out to all our listeners, all the shows that fuck with us. And, yeah.
Also, shout out to Ronald Curry and Mike Mitchell, former Raiders, getting NFL coaching jobs.
Interesting. Peace.
Peace. Happy Black History Month.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.